Wake Up Tri-County's live from our Save-A-Lot studio. Good morning, I'm Sean Cronin. Thank you so much for joining us here today. And joining us live in the studio is Dr. Chris Sullins. Good morning.
Good morning, Sean. Thanks for having me on this morning.
So let's talk about last night's meeting.
Well, you know, it's it was kind of a little uneventful. You know, we always look forward to that April meeting that we have where we always bring in our winter athletes that get recognized for state accomplishments. And of course, the one right now we're hoping for is going to have do well in state this weekend, Friday, and then hopefully advance to Saturday's competition will be our group interpretation team. So, Sean, I don't know of any group activity in this area that has gone to state 18 years in a row. And I say 18 because it should be 19. COVID year was shut down totally in 2020, 100% at the last minute. Well, you know, it was Sunday, four years ago Sunday, March 17th, St. Patty's Day, where, you know, the governor cut everything off in the state of Illinois. So, but for 18 years straight, our group interpretation team has advanced to state finals. And so at state competition up in Sterling, this Friday at 4:45 p.m., they'll perform, be one of, I believe, 18 teams that will perform their act that they have, their performance, excuse me. And we're hoping that they can make it to the next day, that they can, they call it break. You can break and get to the next day, and then that gets you in the medal round. Mm-hmm. And so what was really neat is that at sectional competition in Belleville, which you're asking, where's Belleville? Well, that's about almost a 3.5-hour drive south of St. Right before you hit St. Louis, you head south a little bit. Mm-hmm. So you might as well say the same distance going to St. Louis. But we had 8 students that were nominated to all sectional casts, including Isaac Lines, Lauren Conley, Bethany Van Wassenhove, Cooper Bates, Marcos Torres, Claire Olati, Victoria Dennison, and Tessa Mitchell. And, of course, those students wouldn't get those accolades if it wasn't for everybody else on the team as well. But that cast just did a fabulous job on Saturday and knocked it out of the park. And so we're very proud of their achievements. We wish them the best of luck. Our contest play on the other side, on the other hand, didn't do quite as well. You have to finish top two in contest play in order to advance to state finals, which again would be this weekend as well. But Coach Zach Murphy and his crew did a fabulous job. Those students, again, it's just so neat to see at Kewaunee High School, there's something for everybody. And as we name those students, you know, a lot of those students are involved in chorus, they're involved in band, you know, some of them are cheerleaders though, some of them are on athletic teams as well. And so it's really neat to see that kids have some place to go for those things that really intrigue them or have their interest. And so we wish them all the best of luck. I kind of kid at the board meeting last night that, you know, Cooper Bates at home, his dad's got a big old tub that keeps all his achievements and awards they put in. And I want to make sure if I got to contribute to buying either a bigger tub for Cooper or another tub for Cooper, I definitely will throw in my money. But for what he's accomplished over the last 3.5, almost 4 years now, it's just been incredible. Mm-hmm. And of course, going back to accolades that our athletes have received, you know, in a track conference, we had Brady Clark and Blaze Lewis first earn first team all track honors, with Brady Clark also receiving Illinois Media Class 2A All-State Basketball Honorable Mention, and also third team All-State for Illinois Basketball Coaches Association.
He also played last night in the Iowa-Illinois game.
Absolutely. You know, that was really cool. Unfortunately, you know, we were at a board meeting last night. We couldn't make it to Augustana College. But, you know, Brady's going to play basketball at Illinois College down in Jacksonville. And so, you know, that's kind of neat to see him go that next level and actually get a jump ahead of it by playing on a college court last night. You know, get a little preview for what's going to happen for the next 4 years. And, of course, before that game, I believe the girls played, and so his cousin Kennedy Anderson from Weathersfield was also playing at that all-star game as well too. Mm-hmm. So I know that grandma and grandpa on all sides of the family are very proud of those individuals, as we are as well.
Absolutely. Now, of course, speaking of the name Clark, though, we do have some bad news in that Coach Matt Clark has decided to resign.
Yeah, and you know, with Brady, he was teetering back and forth. He had some offers to play some 1A football. So he was looking between going to a 1A football school or Jacksonville, which to play basketball. And I know he kind of teetered back, Brady did, for a while, going back and forth, looking at what he really wanted to pursue, what his passion was. Because when you say passion, you really got to have it when you go that next level. I don't care if you're 3A of any sport in college or 1A sport of any in college, you know, it's just a huge commitment, and you got to be passionate for that commitment, because it's not just 1A that has 2-a-day practices, you know, it's everybody anymore. And so anyway, going back with Brady deciding to go to Jacksonville, you know, the first thing I did when I heard he was going there, I kind of looked at the basketball schedule from this past year, and you know, there's a lot of 7 o'clock games, some 5:30 games, weekday games that I saw personally that was going to cause a lot of potential conflicts. And I know Matt Clark has just, and his family have done a tremendous job, you know, raising Brady over since probably fourth grade. He's at least involved in sports at Visitation, you know, playing there. And we kind of figured he'd be following Brady along.
So now the search begins for a new basketball coach.
Yeah, you know, and that's the timing-wise, I don't know if there's ever a good time to try and find a coach. You definitely don't want to find a coach at the last minute, you know, right before the season starts. But, you know, at least one thing about this with getting a lot of notice ahead of time is that we do have open teaching positions that are available. So sometimes that attracts people to maybe apply for a teaching position with the possibility of being, whether it's the head coach, assistant coach, or whatever, be part of a program, you know, the passion that they have. So, you know, we really look forward to the applicants that come through and that interview process. And, you know, we hope to continue on, which Coach Clark continued after Coach Lewis, after, you know, Coach Salisbury, after everybody before that, you know, because I think we have a rich tradition of boys basketball at Kewaunee High School. That dates back to H.F. Brockman days back in the 60s.
Indeed. What else was mentioned last night?
You know, one of the things I mentioned COVID a little bit about what I mentioned at the board meeting last night, just because right before COVID, one of the biggest concerns that we had, and we always talk about state funding at the board meetings. A lot of times we don't talk about federal funding. The federal government, you know, their fiscal year, I don't know why, maybe you can explain to me, Sean, starts October 1st. Mm. You know, so the state budget, our fiscal year, as well as the school districts, all school districts start July 1st. Federal government starts October 1st, and so right now they're trying to finalize the federal budget for next year, especially in the area of education, looking at a 3.9% increase across the board. Our, you know, we do receive a lot of federal funds in Title I, almost $1 million, and, you know, I was reminiscing back to about 2018, 2019, when we were probably about $650,000, and the rumor was we were going to get cut about $250,000. Fortunately, that didn't happen at that time, and then COVID hit, and we've been able to still see some hefty increases since then. So we hope that at the federal level, the budget gets passed so that even though we'd like to see more than a 3.9% increase, because it's been stagnant over, not necessarily last year, but the previous years, love to see that increase a little bit more. And of course, at this time of year, at the state level, it's always a wait and see game to see what the legislators down in Springfield, you know, the senators and representatives, when they have their various bills, your Senate bills, your House bills, you know, there's right now over 100 of them that are affecting education. And some of them are, you know, not too bad. Maybe you've got a history class, you have to maybe talk about a little bit more about Native Americans in this aspect, you know. And then, but other rules that they're looking at, bills, you know, would increase, maybe possibly adding some specific classes that you have to add at the high school level. And of course, I'm always opposed to those because there's only so many periods in a day. At Kewaunee High School, we have 7 periods, usually you have a study hall. So you have 6 classes that would include PE. Multiply that times 4, that's how many classes you basically have available to take in high school. And then all of a sudden they want to throw more classes online required. Right now is a personal finance class. And so we already have consumer ed right now at the high school level that's required. And that can be taught out of a consumer ed class. It could be taught out of a business class, that material, or even an ag business class will have consumer ed built into it. So our kids have options right now. But this would be one more type of finance class that students would have to pass before graduating from high school. And again, that sounds great down in Springfield, but the practicality of that is that means that's one less kid going to be able to take an A class, going to take a home ec class, a business class, maybe a computer class that they, you know, that they're mandating that we offer now. Mm. So that's always the frustration we have, but you don't get the, you don't lose sleep over it right now. It'll get hot and heavy, you know, as we get into late April, early May. And on the positive aspect of what happens down at state government is that for many years, we wouldn't see the budget finalized by that deadline of May 31st, it'd go into June and July. And, you know, some years it was even, seemed like October, November before we had an official budget, really late. But it looks like last year we finished the, they finished the budget down in Springfield before May 31st. It looks like it's going to happen again that way this year. So that's the positive, right? We should have a positive coming out of Springfield. But if they could just, on a personal note, leave us alone, no new bills for education for 2 years, I think we'd all be better off. Because that's why we have local forms of government, you know, which are called boards of education.
Well, a little something I'm going to just surprise you with here just briefly is that tomorrow morning we have Kewaunee back when, and we're going to be celebrating the 1971 Kewaunee Boilermakers basketball team. And I just wanted to say, I just wanted to ask you if you have any memories or any recall of those teams and that history here at Kewaunee.
Well, that's a softball question you threw at me. That's an easy one. So I believe I was going to double check that. I was either in fifth or sixth grade, but the you know Coach Limbeck had about eight children, and Kelly Limbeck, who is still Kewaunee girls' leading basketball scorer with 1,900 and I think 10 points. She was in my class at that time. And yes, I do remember back in 1971, you know, everybody coming to school and just the school pride, the town pride at that time. I mean, it was just unbelievable. You know, whether you're talking about Tommy Smith, Tom Myler, the Harvey brothers, you know, it just, the list goes on and on and on about those players and just how great they were. And of course, with my parents being in education, I had an opportunity to go to every home game and probably hit most of their away games. And that was just such a big thrill. I mean, basically, you know, it seemed like the day before the state competition on Thursday, when they played on Friday, you know, it was like school stopped. That's all that was talked about, like in every single class. It was probably worked into every math assignment that I had in grade school or every single English assignment. And, you know, I just remember the banners up around town, you know, being at Central School, we didn't have attendance centers then. We were a K-8 building. So, you know, we had two groups of kindergarten class, first grade, all the way through sixth grade. Coach Limbeck's sister taught fifth grade, Mrs. Spears at the time, right across the hall from my classroom. And it was just so much fun to be around and see those players. And still today, I still get chills over it, you know. I know Tom Myler lives in town here, and he's very modest, but it's always great talking to him about that season whenever I get a chance to say something. You know, of course, another local resident, Doc Cernovich, was part of that great team as well. And, you know, it was just, it was unfortunate that we finally made the, what was called the Elite Eight back then, that we ran into the team that we ran into. Yeah. I mean, what a powerhouse team. And I'll save you till tomorrow. You can talk about how one of those players ended up in the NBA, you know, which is so neat.
Well, tomorrow, for the first time in 50 years, people are going to hear the actual audio supplied by Larry Flannery of those games that were heard on WKEI.
Oh, that is awesome. And I remember I went down to the game, and I every time I go down to Champaign, we go down to, well, I know it's not called Assembly Hall anymore, it's called, it was State Farm Center down in Champaign. Every time we go down there for wrestling and we're sitting as a group, I always make a point to clear up to the second of the top bleachers row, because that's where I sat and watched the game. fifth grade. I wasn't down courtside by any means. I was clear up at the top. You know, the old saying, you had a better shot of watching that game on TV, you know, than where I was at. But it was just neat to be in the assembly hall, just the enthusiasm, just everybody. It was definitely a community event. And, you know, you think about those times, you know, we don't, looking across the street here, we no longer have we have a local printed paper, but not always local news. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that was what was in the news every single week, whether it was Kewaunee basketball or Wethersfield basketball at the same time as well, you know, when they had their successes. And so it was, the whole community could follow what was happening and cheering each other on.